Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Jodi Ellen. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I write things, mainly about love and a bit of sex thrown in. Ultimately I like to think that I write captivating stories that just have the element of a bit of hot sex thrown in as a bonus.
I love this. Yes, I love the fact that you're able to bring us some good stories with some steam, which is totally awesome. It just adds a new flavor to the story. So
yeah. I think the falling in love, but also the whole chemistry of two characters on the pages can just intensify a story so much. So I love playing with all of those feelings and the sort of cat and mouse game and the push and the pull. And yeah, all of my men are typically broken. So I have to sort of create these strong sort of counterparts to fix them.
I love this. So what inspired you to become a writer?
It wasn't until only a few years ago, actually, that one of my aunties said to me that when I was a child, she used to always look at me and wonder what was going through my mind, because I always seemed to be daydreaming. I always seemed to be lost in thought. And it wasn't until she said that to me that I realised that actually, yes, as a child growing up, all the way through to sort of young womanhood, I used to find myself daydreaming all the time. And in fact, some people used to say that I was a miserable cow because I think I just used to have this kind of blank expression a lot of the time. And my husband says now he knows when my mind's whirling because I have that kind of vacant look, and my best friend always looks at me and knows when it's worth talking to me or not, because I'm just not in the room. But I think for me, what inspired me ultimately was an outlet for all of these things that were going on in my mind and getting them all out. And it was the most satisfying, fulfilling experience to write my first book. And it went from there. The rest is history.
I love this. And so what was your journey to get that first book published?
My journey is, I think it's quite unique, actually. And I always feel very guilty when aspiring writers, people trying to break through, approach me and ask me what my secret was. I still don't know, to be honest. It kind of just exploded. I published it independently. I'm the only online retailer available to me at that point. We're talking, over 8 years ago now, was Amazon. So I uploaded it onto Amazon, this man, my first book, and it kind of just spiraled from there, and it just went a bit crazy, to be honest. It was a very good time, I think, to self-published romance off the back of 50 Shades, which had absolutely blown everything out of the water when it came to erotic romance. So women were scrambling to read anything, with offer and a great story. So I think much of it is right place, right time. But also, I like to think, obviously, it's a compelling story, which is, you know, word of mouth, social media, online. Think, you know, back then, it was just huge. I mean, obviously, social media is still huge, but it was typically word of mouth online.
That's fascinating. I love this. You know, like right place, right time. You have the right story. And the audience was just looking for it. So
yeah. And from there, it's, you know, it did so well online, and I was in a very privileged position where I had agents contacting me, and I was a bit of a rabbit caught in the headlights. You know, I was at the time I was only 30, 31, 32. I had no idea about the online romance world. I had no idea of the community online. And I found myself in New York meeting agents, which is where I found my amazing agent, Andy. And we've been together ever since.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, in terms of your writing process, do you follow an outline, or do you see where the story leads you? Like, what's your writing process like?
Someone asked this online the other day. Another author asked this online. And I said, I still don't know myself, so I'm bummed if I can tell you. I do have things sort of mulling around in my mind, and I build and build and build, and I write notes in my journal, and it kind of all starts to piece together. But of course, it's like anything with writing, your characters generally sort of take you in the direction that they want to go. So you can have something planned. There's been many times where I think I know where the story is going, and then all of a sudden I'm heading off in a different direction. So I generally just go with it. I always write what my heart tells me to, which is sometimes risky. But I've always believed that I should write for myself first. More, you know, authenticity and what I believe in.
I love this. And so, talking about the characters, how did it come to you? Did they come like there?
My characters, especially the males, I think the exception for this is Leaving Me Breathless and The Controversial Princess. Other than those two books, generally the male characters are what started a story. So I'll have a man in my head, and, you know, his story will sort of build from there. And most of this man, especially Miller Hart in One Night, Jake Sharp, The Protector, it all started with the guy, and the story kind of built around them. The Controversial Princess and Leave Me Breathless, it was Hannah and Adeline from the heroines from those two books that actually keeps those stories off. But generally, yeah, the characters come first, and then the story kind of follows.
Yeah. Well, I think so much of romance is about the characters, and the characters telling you what their story looks like, how they're going to fall in love, how they're going to be intimate, how they're going to grow, how they're going to, their life is going to fall apart, you know, it's going to come back. So
create for them.
Yeah, like, you know, as an author, you probably know more, but at the same time, you're like, you're amazed by their journey. So
yeah, absolutely. It's such good fun writing. Like, I've always, my most favorite read of a book that I've written is the very first one after I generally go from start to finish. I don't, like, I've heard many authors kind of will write separate chapters here and there and then piece it all together, and I just, but I go from start to finish. If I'm struggling on a chapter, I don't skip to one. I fight my way through it. But the best read for me is that one when I've finished, and it's that first sort of deep edit where I get to read it from start to finish for the first time. And I think, is this, you know, how my readers feel when they read a book for the first time? I'm very blessed to have an amazing group of women who follow me, and many of them always tell me that they will reread my books, and that is a massive compliment to someone to tell you that you're their go-to book. If they're in a book funk, they go back, you know, they've all got their favorites. This Man, I think, is probably the most reread of all my books, but they've all got favorites that they'll go back to if they need to get their reading mojo back.
I love this. So let's talk about your latest releases. So you have a duology, The Hunt Legacy Duology. What was the source of inspiration? And did you plan it to be a duology, or was it just like the story, like, we just needed to go there?
Well, my diehard fans know by now that this story was written off the back of One Night After Miller Heart, which was 2014. So it was written a long time ago. It was so wonderful to release it now, because I could go back to the story again and remember how amazing it was to write it and the research that went into it to make it as authentic as possible. Becca Hunt is, I think it's safe to say, he's going to be up there with my readers' favourite alphas. They generally, obviously Jessie Ward is many people's favourites. It's sounding like Becca Hunt is definitely giving him a run for his money. And I think that's probably why it was so close to the release of This Man and One Night. I questioned whether my readers could cope with such a prolific alpha man so close off the back of Miller Heart and Jessie Ward. So for one reason or another, many reasons actually, Becca got shelved for quite some years. And I'm so glad. There was always, like, every year I was like, oh God, I must give them Becca. I must give them Artful Lies and Wicked Truths. But it just never happened for, you know, there was other book releases, there was other things in my schedule that just prevented it from being released. But everything happens for a reason, I think, and they are more than ready for him now. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful to see their reactions to him, because they're generally agreeing with me. He's a bit hot to handle.
Yeah, I think it's a pandemic reading. It's a good pandemic reading to get immersed in this world and to see these characters and to see them go through their journey. It's just like, okay, this is what we need in 2020. So.
Yeah, it's been a really crap year as well, hasn't it? So it's nice to see some positivity restored in my readers. Who, like the rest of the world, are struggling at the moment. It's tough times. So losing yourself in a good book is many women's go-to.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite trope to write? Like, what's your favorite, you know, if you think about it, like, character style?
I always write in first person, generally from the female's perspective, although I have done a few dual POVs. I think the forbidden romance, and there's always a little bit of forbidden in each of my stories for one reason or another. This Man, she was his interior designer, and Miller Heart in One Night, she was very innocent young girl, and he clearly wasn't. In The Protector, she was, you know, she was his client, he was her bodyguard. There's always that sort of element of forbidden within the story. They shouldn't be together, but they just can't help it. So yeah, I really love writing that push and pull, and I want to but I can't, and we must and we mustn't, and yeah. And it's the same with The Hunt Legacy. In Artful Lies, obviously Eleanor goes to work for Becca Hunt, which immediately puts him on the forbidden list. Not that that obviously that registers with him.
I love this. What are some of your upcoming projects?
I haven't actually got anything scheduled in after Wicked Truths, which is out on the 12th, obviously. Yeah. But my readers know by now that I like to play my cards, or keep my cards very close to my chest. But there's lots happening in the background. Yeah, I'll say no more on that.
You're going to surprise us. Yeah. I love this. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
My favorite genre is romance, of course, all the way.
Okay, what has been a book?
I think it always will be. I just have a passion for it. Romance.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Sex.
Yes. Yes to all of this. Tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on Facebook, obviously. I have a private fan reader group which is full of the most incredible women who are all full of positivity and love for each other, which makes me happy and smiles every day. Obviously, Instagram. I'm not much of a tweeter, I have to say.
That's okay.
Twitter doesn't do it for me.
That's okay.
It's a very old platform, so I'm telling you. It seems to be where people go to argue.
Yeah, it's a weird platform. It's a lot of doom scrolling.
I tend to keep a distance.
That's okay. Thank you, Jodi Allen, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATYOURREAD10 to save. Visit whatyourextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.